You know the thing that gets me? I was on WorldNet Daily, and there was this Marine that is suing the federal government, and he's suing it because they gave billions of dollars to American International Group, AIG. And AIG takes and funds Sharia-compliant loans. And, yeah, we're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. And a Marine is suing.
And Nancy Reagan came out in favor of Romney.
Yep, yep. There's just so much.
Well, let's get started.
All right, let's get started.
Bill Clinton,
Sterling!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, mommy-o, daddy-o, and kittens and cats, welcome to another edition of Political QRM, whether you like it or not.
Oh my God, we're back again, folks. Do you believe this?
Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk? I know. Life happens, folks, but we're back again. And
yes.
We have a lot to catch up on, don't we, Lou?
Oh my goodness, yes. What do we have to catch up on? I mean, the thing that grabbed me this morning was the swarms of venomous spiders in India in just one town that killed two people.
Okay.
Okay, enough of the fluff.
And the dogs don't like spiders, do they? No, I didn't think they did. No, there they go.
The dogs don't like anything. If a leaf rolls down the street behind us, they don't like it. But
ooh, that was good. He banged the cane and they're quiet.
Yeah, like Nanny McPhee. I banged. We actually had to sit and watch that.
Why? Because one of your... it's actually cute.
Yeah.
I love it.
Germ monkey. You know what? I don't know any of... Well, you know what? It wasn't so bad because it was double feature movie night. It was Nanny McPhee and I hadn't yet seen, and I actually got to see the other day, Prince Caspian... Not Prince... Chronicles of the Last... The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Chronicles of Narnia, are you talking about?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. All right.
And not the animated one from years ago. No.
The series
of them that's taken place in the last two or three years.
Uh-huh.
And being a C.S. Lewis slash Chronicle, I mean, the Screwtape Letters, yes, but mm-hmm. I mean, the Chronicles of Narnia when I was in, like, third grade, that was the set of books to be reading, you know, the Heckwood Hardy Boys for boys and Nancy Drew for girls, or vice versa in nowadays compliant terms.
Well, you know, all those books they've dumbed down.
Well, not just dumbed them down, but now it's, quote-unquote, okay for boys to read Nancy Drew, and it's okay for girls to read the Hardy Boys. Which, you know what, I'm sorry, it was never not okay, but...
That's right.
You know, boys just wouldn't read them in the school library, that's all, you know, and vice versa.
Right.
You know, now it's encouraged. But the Chronicles of Narnia were all that in a bag of chips,
uh-huh.
You know, back in the 50s. That was what we read. That was one of the, you know, series of books on our reading list, you know, on the cork board at the back of the classroom. And I enjoyed them, you know, back then. And, Debbie and I, shameless plug, Netflix. We do a lot of Netflix. And we got the first one, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And, you know, okay, that was nice. It was very well done. And then we got the second one, The Prince Caspian. And of course, that was very well done. I mean, gratuitous violence, you know, sword fights.
Yeah, sure.
And then the last one, of course, being The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And it was very, very, again, very well done. You know, excellent effects and all that other stuff. The music wasn't too bad. I mean, I like a certain amount of New Age music anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to sleep at night, I usually have, you know, Enya and Clannad and
right, yeah.
Marina McKennitt and stuff like that playing.
Mm-hmm.
And the most amazing part of it, and I had forgotten this from the books, the lion turns to the youngest girl. Her name escapes me.
Mm-hmm.
Younger girl. And she says, "This is our last time back to Narnia, isn't it?" And he said, "Yes, my little one. You have to go back to your own world. Will I ever see you again?" And he said, "I will be with you always.
Yeah.
But in your world, I have a different name." And she's crying, and she hugs him, and he turns around and walks into this wall of water, very much like the old Red Sea parting kind
right,
of.
Yeah.
Very well done, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it took no time at all for Debbie to look at me and me to look at Debbie and go, "God, mm-hmm. what other could there be?"
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And well, with Clive Staples Lewis being the utmost Christian apologetic of his day, it was an amazing, and I hope that with all the movies that are out there and all the kids want to see this, that, and the other thing, I hope if parents are going to say yes to a movie,
mm-hmm.
those three are one of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
It's done that well. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, I wax on that, but it's done that well. And if you look back at the old days and you watch Fantasy Island, you come to agreement, you know, that it dawns on you after a season or so of watching them that Mr. Rourke is God.
Mm-hmm.
And there are good and evil lessons learned, you know, throughout the show and the little vignettes that they show. But the idea that it's a true, real, live, honest to goodness, good versus evil.
Yep.
And the fact that it says, this is God using you
mm-hmm.
for his purpose on earth or wherever,
mm-hmm.
as good forces of good to defeat these forces of evil, and you learn from it and you do God's bidding and everything works out for the best. Well, what the heck more can you ask?
Nope.
You know, I mean, okay. End Roger Ebert session here.
Well, yeah, I know.
But, you know, I mean, I know it doesn't have it, but you know what it does? It does have a lot to do with the fact that this is political QRM, because cultural / pop cultural
mm-hmm. yeah,
stuff that affects us.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of the Hollywood types kind of panned those, the Chronicles of Narnia, the three parts.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course they did. They'd rather have you watch,
I don't know. You know, 16 and Pregnant.
Slash them, you know, slash them, crash them, zombies, vampires, werewolves.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff, because that's what they're into, you know. But... you know, here you can watch people doing the quote-unquote gratuitous violence,
mm-hmm.
and yet there's still a valid moral message.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. There is.
It serves to gild the moral compass
mm-hmm.
of kids today that would have... because you can't hand... I shouldn't say this. I mean, you can't hand a kid a book in this day and age that isn't, you know, 100 pages and 50 of them pictures, can't expect them to do anything with it anymore.
That's true. I mean, they don't read. And the stuff
we're going to get letters. Oh, my kid
I
reads.
Don't care. No, you know what, though? They don't read the things they should read. They're reading the popular culture crap out there. But they don't read classics. They don't read any of the books that, you know, really were of great writing or...
I had a conversation with my two nieces, as a matter of fact, Eugene's two daughters.
Okay.
And they are 17 and 18.
Okay.
Matter of fact, one grabbed me on the side because she was going down to New York City. New York City! And Uncle Lou, what should I take with me? I said, a gun.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
She said, besides that, you know, I was like, oh, really? A camera?
Yeah.
You know, well, can you give me any advice? I said, don't look up.
That's right.
You know, she said, why? I said, Mark, you're a tourist.
Yeah, that's right.
When you've got to go somewhere, go somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, in the same vein, I got to tell you this. I was watching Fox and Friends the other day, and they had this thing done outside, and there were two people on the side with T-shirts that said, "I love New York," and I'm like, "Tourists!
Tourists!
Hey, no, let's go rob them."
Yeah, so I gave her a little bit of advice, but now these two girls, and she went down there ostensibly to check out, she got an interview with NYU.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And, well, yeah, her mother's a little freaked. Now, can't you go to, like, you know, St. Rita Marino's all-girls college somewhere?
Rita Marino.
You know, Our Lady of Great Agony, you know.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
You know, the all-girls school in West Tuholer, Pennsylvania somewhere, you know. Kind of a thing. No, she's going to go to NYU. You know, at least that's where her heart's set.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Watch. Has she ever lived in New York?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about culture shock? She's going to be coming
back. Consider this. The fact that both of her parents, and of course myself and Debbie, you know, we all live here in Maine now, but we're all New Jersey.
Oh, okay. All right. So they'll have some.
You know, okay. Well, you know what? My sister-in-law, I guess you could call it New Jersey. I shouldn't say that, because she was actually not far from where Debbie and Eugene were raised. But, you know, Morris County back in the day wasn't what it is now.
No.
It wasn't. I mean, I'll stop short of pastoral and bucolic, but it certainly wasn't urban.
That's true.
I grew up in Neck, Newark, you know, so there's a slight difference there, but. You know, they were raised here.
Yeah. So what'd you do? Did this have something to do with books? I'm trying to get you back on track here. What happened?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, you know, so there was all this cultural. Oh, the point was, they went to see the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Which hit theaters some weeks ago.
Right.
Now, they're 17 and 18. These are not 8-year-old kids.
Right, yeah, exactly. And?
But there were 8 and 9-year-old girls in the audience.
No, they shouldn't have been there.
No, with their moms or their stepmoms or their husband's girlfriends or whatever, you know, big sisters. Point is, they don't belong. We have movie ratings for a reason.
I know.
I don't know what to do with them, but they do have them.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, what I want to watch, I'll watch.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an adult for a long time, you know. And I wouldn't. I even said to Debbie, I said, well, now that you got this review from the girls, are you going to, you know, maybe you, maybe Kim, maybe both of you, whatever, you're going to run off? And, oh, God, no, what would I watch that for?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, okay, thank you. I feel much better now. Mm. But, you know, it's all, there's the pop culture, there's the Hollywood pushing.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, they'd rather that these two girls, 17 and 18, you know, or for that matter, 8 or 9,
mm-hmm.
would watch The Hunger Games than The Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, I understand it. I just don't agree with it. And I'll be honest with you. I really don't know what it's about.
Hunger Games?
I understand it's a lot of quote-unquote women empowering stuff. And most of the gratuitous violence is carried out by women or something. But the point is, just from the sound of it and seeing what's going on, and then reading these little tiny snippets on whether it's Fox News or whether it's Judge or wherever I saw another one, you know, AOL News or something that Debbie sent me so I wouldn't be knighted, you know, about this kind of stuff. And I looked at it and I said, this doesn't look like something I'd want to see. It doesn't look like anything you'd want to see. She said, it's not something I want to see. I said, okay. Why did the girls want to see it? She said, well, they're 17 and 18.
Yeah.
You know, they're right in the right, right in exactly the demographic that Hollywood wanted.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm like, there's our pop culture. Why are they reading it and then seeing the movie and arguing whether it was as good as the book or back and forth and forth and back that people have been doing since there were books?
Hey, next time they come and visit you, ask them what's on their high school reading list. I'm curious.
I've seen, I've seen, as a matter of fact, I saw the one, the younger one, with a copy of Angela's Ashes.
Oh, God. All right. Okay. All right. No. All right. Yeah, but still.
I will. I will ask them what's on their reading list, because, I tend to drift a little bit more towards the pop culture issues as they affect us than you do. But
no, No. I'm curious to see what, like, on their high, what the English class is.
Yes, I do now that you mention it, and I'm making a note.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm seeing kids reading. They can read all the detective stories and stuff like that. And that's just fine. It's okay. But what about Dickens? No, we've never read Charles Dickens. Okay, have you ever read Hemingway? No, haven't read Hemingway. I'm like, okay.
Mark Twain.
Catcher in the Rye. But I mean, any of these things. 1984.
No. Oh, no. 1984 has probably been pulled from all the libraries and burned.
I know. Brave New World, none of those things.
None of it. No.
Listen to this, though. I was in a bookstore one time, and there was this girl who was looking for Ayn Rand stuff, and I went, and she said, how do you say? I said, Ayn Rand. She said, Ayn Rand? I said, no, Ayn Rand. I said, what are you looking for? She said, well, what book? And I said, what, can I ask what your grade is? She was in college. I was like, oh, my God.
Like eighth grade.
Yes. So did I. I started reading Ayn Rand when I was in eighth grade. And it's just like, so it's like, oh my God, it's like, I had no idea. They're so dumbed down.
But not to read The Old Man and the Sea, not to read Moby Dick, not to read Of Mice and Men, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yes.
Oliver Swift mm-hmm. My goodness, what about
Two Cities, God.
20,000 Leagues and yes. All the Journey to the Center of the Earth, Jules Verne, what about all of this stuff? That there's a reason it's in a section marked classics.
I know.
What about the Odyssey and the Iliad, and what about,
Are you kidding?
What?
No, they probably don't. They probably think it's some movie.
Well, it is, but...
Oh, no, or some band.
Oh, But, I mean, I've got, and I said to the girls the last time they were here, I've got a set of books. I was blessed. My Uncle Pasquale, the consummate bachelor that he was, he drifted around. He worked for Bell System forever and ever and ever and ever, but he drifted around a lot depending on, where he needed to be. And he ended up in Kearney at one point. Right on the main drag in Kearney. And he lived in the back of a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy either sold the business or whatever, and he lived in the back room of this bookstore, which for him was convenient because he was always reading something.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it was great. We're going over Uncle Pasquale's. Hey, great, And he said, look, he really didn't. He kept the business open-ish. When he was there, it was open. When he wasn't there, it wasn't open.
Right.
So he did sell some books, but it was this old. It smelled like a, not like a Barnes and Noble.
Smelled like old bookstores. Yeah.
No, it smelled like the stacks, and I don't care which college you went to. It smelled like the stacks. It really.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he said, all right, I got to move, and I'm going to close the door, he said, if there's anything in here you want, bring boxes, bring bags. And Mom drove me over there in the old Bessie, 1955 Pontiac Super Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Little Indian head on the front, the little Pontiac Indian head that lit.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The strap on the hood. Oh, my God, what a beautiful car. Anyway. She took me over there, and of course, the trunk space, you can have like eight Vietnamese families live.
Oh, jeez. Going to have that?
Anyway, but I mean, we were allowed to take anything. We filled that trunk, the back seat, and the floor in the front seat with books.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I still have is I have, and unfortunately, since we moved everything out of this room to go upstairs, the library is now upstairs. I still have a few books down here. It's this set of children's classics.
Oh, yeah.
from 1919.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got engraved plates with the, you know, the vellum sheet
over them. Yes, I know those books. Yep.
And the bindings are all immaculate. Mm-hmm. Some of the gilding has indeed worn off. But, I mean, these books were just treasure to me. And I said to the girls, I said, you're welcome to borrow, not take, borrow these books anytime you want. And they are filled with, you know, all these stories and poetry and anecdotes, essays. They're wonderful. It's like 23 volumes, all identically bound and stuff. It's a treasure. You know what? It's probably worth something. But why? You know, they said, okay, you know, that's great, Uncle Lou, and they didn't take it.
Of course not, no.
But, you know, why not? Why not? Why are they reading? You know what? If you want to get into, and you said, okay, the detective stories and stuff. If you want to get into stuff like Sam Spade and Marlowe, you know.
No, but what I'm saying is that it's not just they can read that. I mean, sure, you read everything. But I'm saying is what the schools are doing.
Oh, yeah, well.
That's what I'm saying. The schools are putting things like this, books like that, on the reading lists instead of, you know, having them read classics throughout the ages, you know?
My brother came home from school with a copy of Abbie Hoffman's Steal This Book. He was in high school.
Yeah.
And I said, don't tell me you're actually going to read this trash. You know, he says, no. He says, I just did what it said on the cover. So I took it. Yeah. And
did you burn it?
No. He said to me, like a couple of days later, he said, hey, have you seen that copy of Steal This Book? And I said, what are you talking about? He says, I didn't really steal it. I was going to return it. And I said, not too late. Somebody else did what it said on the cover.
Oh, my God. Oh, well.
So I stole it. I don't have it. I did not burn it because it's against every fiber of my being to set fire to a book.
I know.
But I don't honestly know what happened to him. He might have stolen it back.
And what book dealt with
book?
No, what book dealt with burning books?
Oh, Fahrenheit 451.
There you go. Bingo.
Another one they probably don't read.
That's right. There you go.
You know, maybe they do. Maybe they do, because, you know, 1984 and Fahrenheit 451 in this day and age, those are instruction manuals, aren't they?
Well, it's current history, isn't it? It's current events, sorry. Excuse me.
Current events, yes, indeed. And speaking of current events, you can take me off my soapbox now.
Okay, good. Hey, a lot has happened. But people up here are focusing on the Massachusetts Senate race between Elizabeth Liawatha, and that is thanks to no, wait a minute. That's not mine. It's Howie Carr. Okay, I got that from Howie Carr.
You can always count on Howie.
I gotta credit the man, Elizabeth.
I credit him. I mean, you know, he's one of the guys that that I really miss listening to. You know, for some reason. Is he still with Mutual? I mean, I don't even know what.
Hey, no, this is what you do. You get on iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
You can get one of the Boston stations on there. They carry them.
Okay, that's the thing. I know where to find, you know, Sean. I know where to find Rush. Yeah. I know where to find Beck. I know where to find, you know, Bortz. I know where to find Savage. Mm-hmm. I know where to find, you know, all the different. I just, you know, something, now that you mention Howie Carr, when I still lived in Jersey, I used to listen to him all the time. And I don't anymore. And he was always a good one.
He's something else. I mean, you know, Boston, Massachusetts, born and bred, and I mean.
Yeah, but I always enjoyed his.
I like him. But again, Elizabeth Liawatha Warren, the woman has been. She had a lot of firsts in her life. You know, I mean,
you know something. That woman has spent so much time. I believe she's backpedaled further than she's ever pedaled fronter.
I mean, her whole life has been, lies. I mean, she was the first woman in New Jersey to take the law exam or whatever, Bob, while she was breastfeeding. I was like, what? Why is that?
Well, first of all, why is that pertinent? Second of all,
exactly.
Why would you do that?
And why would you talk about it?
Third of all, yeah, why would you talk about it? Who cares?
It's a damn.
I'm gonna back up just another second back to popular culture, just for a second, because I think it's important here. I watched a pair of movies not all that long ago called The Boondock Saints.
Oh God, here we go. All right.
Well, it's violent. My goodness, it's violent, and I can't tell really if they're pro or anti IRA. They're Catholic, so okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
or Irish.
And people tell me all the time that I was in it because of Billy Connolly's appearance in the
movie. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Anyway, but the point is that there's a rant by one of the characters in the second movie. He's dead.
Okay.
So this is some sort of mirage scene, dream scene, altered state of consciousness scene kind of a thing. And he comes up and he's talking to the two protagonists, and he said, you know why we act that way? And they all in unison say, because it's nobody's business.
Yep.
So why is it any business of ours that she took the bar exam while she was breastfeeding?
Okay, because that is one of the issues. Women's rights, the rise of women for the Democrats. That's what it is. I mean, they are focusing on every aspect of a woman's life and trying to make inroads.
I've stopped calling it women's issues.
Well, to them, they have women's... It's all women's issues. It's like, give me a break.
Well, I've stopped calling it women's issues. I've started referring to it as women's issues.
Yeah.
W-O-M-Y-N.
Yeah.
You know, because of the fact that the women's movement at anything above rank and file is populated by... Let's just say it's populated by women and gender only.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
And I listen, no letters, folks. Remember, I am the most pro-gay Republican you have ever met in your entire life. But, you know, as I've mentioned in other podcasts, I've got several of them in my extended family.
Okay.
On both sides of the chromosomal aisle.
Mm.
And so I have no issue. My issue with it isn't their sexual orientation, persuasion. What are they calling it now? Orientation, persuasion, proclivity, you know, I have no problem with any of that. The problem is these are people running the women's movement.
Mm-hmm.
And my issue is if you want to be a feminist, I don't start out by being feminine.
That's not the whole idea, though, and you know that as well as I do.
I know it's not the whole idea. The problem is this is where it all goes. Oh, we're going to empower. We're going to break free the bonds. You know, we're going to, you know, shuffle off this cultural coil, and we're going to rise and hear me roar and all that Alan Reddy stuff. We discussed the whole thing with the Time magazine cover with the breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't know that it belongs, you know, out, you know, walk down the street, you know, doing this, you know, exposed, I don't say that we need to become, you know, the Fiji Islands or something.
That's right.
You know, something out of National Geographic. I really don't. I just don't have a problem with the process. And if someone was walking down the street doing that, it wouldn't faze me one iota because I'm just that kind of guy.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Wait a minute. I got another one for you. Talk about breastfeeding. Did you see the picture of the two military women in uniform? Breastfeeding.
Oh, no, yes, I did. As a matter of fact, didn't I send you the link to that? Or?
No. I was horrified and disgusted. I'm sorry.
Look, if you
that's the uniform.
It's the uniform. I get it. But there's you got to remember, when I was in the Army 24/7, 365.
Right.
All right. If they're in the Army or Air Force, Navy, whatever it is, they're in it 24/7, 365.
That's fine.
All right. As you said, use the pump, put it in the fridge, get the hubby to feed the kid, you know, your nanny, whatever it is you've got. You know, you don't run home, get the kid, and sit down, you know, in the quad of your base and
Yeah.
I'm not saying for a second that it besmirches the uniform. Here we go again. We're going to disagree on this. I'm not saying that it besmirches the uniform.
I think it does.
But
somebody said, you know, what are you going to do? Take a picture of going outside and you know, urinating in the uniform?
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not the same.
Oh, I think it is the same. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But again,
you want to breastfeed? That's fine.
A modicum of decency.
Do it under certain circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, but the point is, I get your point.
Okay.
You don't want to see this, you know, sitting outside on a bench outside the PX, obviously.
No. The thing is, don't photograph it. Don't. I'm sorry. How can I take those women seriously now? I'm sorry. I can't. I can't take them seriously. You want to be a mother? Fine, be a mother. But don't think that you're going to be a soldier, too. And I'm sure that a lot of the men that they have to serve with are not exactly looking at them in the same way now. All right?
Well, I'm trying to think of who it was. And it was one of the... it was one of the Fox News, the Dr. Abloh,
mm-hmm.
from the Fox News medical aid team, who put out an essay last week or the week before saying why I don't want to see women on the front lines.
Okay.
And we have been having this discussion since 1774.
Right.
And I got news for you. You know, when it comes right down to it, you can't count... Clara Moss, and you can't count mm-hmm. Florence Nightingale.
Right.
These are medical personnel, I get it, you know, but you can count some of the, in some of the battles of either the Revolution or either the War of Northern Aggression, you know, or some of the other wars that have been fought, War of 1812, women have manned cannons.
That's right.
Come out on the porch with a flintlock in the 18th century, and they've gone outside with a Winchester repeating rifle in the 19th century, you know, defended their ranch, homestead, farm, you know, plantation,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and of course, I'm sorry, I don't have it anymore. I wish I did. My rabbi sent me a copy of a calendar some years back called The Women of the IDF.
Mm.
And they were in uniform. Every one of those girls was in uniform, and every one of them was absolutely stunning. And, you know, and every single one of them could rip your arms out and beat you to death with the bloody stumps.
That's fine. I am totally in favor of that. That's no problem.
But one or the other. You're either going to be a mom, or you're going to... Look, if you do that, if you're in the National Guard, or the Army Reserve, or, you know, something like that, that's one thing. But if you're on full-time active duty, I think... You should be concentrating on your full-time active duty position.
Yeah, I agree.
If you need to have, and look, the Army is an employer, all right? If you need maternal leave, there are federal laws in place that govern such things, workplace maternal leave, or what do they call it, family leave now? They don't even call it, because you can get it too. You know, if you need that, I think it guarantees up to 90 days or...
I know. But you know what? The thing that gets me now is that the military is being used for all these social causes.
Oh, it's a tool. As a tool.
And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it.
Well, the military has been a social engineering pioneer for, in our country, you know, 200 and something years.
Well, no, you know, it's just like, all right, now, you know, the gays have to be allowed to be open. Okay, all right, here we go. How does that really going to affect things? A lot of the Marines were against that, okay? You know, also now we got women who, you know, want to open up their blouses and their uniforms and, you know, have one woman hold both of her breasts while her kids stay. I'm like, come on, knock it off.
I love my wife absolutely positively to death.
Okay, what does that got to do with it?
Tell you what. We do not. I mean, you saw before the podcast started, she came in and said goodbye. She was off to a friend's house, and she gave me a nice little kiss, and off she went.
Right.
And we say, I love you to each other every time we see each other, and every time we walk away from each other, we say, I love you.
That's
but
great.
We love each other to death. We say, I love you on the phone,
that's
you know,
good.
But all that stuff. You know, we say, I love you to our parents and to her kid. And,
okay.
You know, we say, I love you all the time. When we go out someplace, The best anybody has ever seen or ever will see is we definitely have a habit of holding hands.
That's good, too. What's wrong with that?
Not a doggone thing. But no one ever turns to us and says, oh, God, get a room, will you? We don't go in for displays of public affection.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
And that's just the kind of guy I am. I came from a very affectionate family.
Yeah, so did I.
Debbie comes from an affectionate family. And there's nothing but we don't display that other than hand-holding, and that kind of stuff. We don't display that. It's none of anybody's business but ours. So why it matters, if a couple of gay folks in the military walk down to the PX holding hands, that's one thing. But if they want to go sit on that bench there next to the girl breastfeeding and suck face for 45 minutes, that doesn't belong on the bench outside.
Well, wait a minute. If you're in military uniform, PDA, that it's...
Exactly. You're not supposed to have any...
You're not supposed to do it, yeah. So either way, whether you're gay, straight, or whatever.
Anybody.
Yeah.
And that's how it always was, and it's still the way I live my life, because it's nobody's doggone business.
Yeah.
So why should it matter if they're gay, straight, or otherwise? There's Army regulations about it.
Not anymore.
Well, there's nothing to stop straight couples on an Army base from doing that anymore either.
You want to bet? I'm saying you right now that they will be very critical.
Put me back in the Army for 25 minutes.
Put
a Time magazine photographer in front of me.
Okay.
Well, let my wife be there. Put me in there in uniform and put a Time magazine photojournalist in front of me.
Yeah, well, it'll happen.
I will give them pictures with my gray hair. I will give them pictures that they won't... No, never mind. I'd have to shave.
Yeah, don't. Let's not go there.
And I'd let them take the test case right all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States of America saying, hey, sauce for the goose, baby.
Mm-hmm.
If it's allowed for gays, I'm straight. Why isn't it allowed for me? Well, Army Regulation 2, don't quote me on the regulation, 220-7, Section 1, Paragraph 3, says, public displays of affection are not tolerated in the United States Military Uniform Code of Military Justice, and talk for 45 minutes sitting on the bench there, sitting on the Group W bench, and let them take it all the way to the Supreme Court. Court-martial me and take it to the Supreme Court, because, wait a minute, what do you mean I can't display affection publicly? Just because I happen to be displaying that affection with a woman? Well, yeah, that's what the regulation was written for. Well, if you want to start rewriting regulations, my friend, start rewriting the regulations to say nobody is allowed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that everybody's allowed to do it. In which case, not only will the people in uniform lose respect for each other, but we'll lose what little face we have with either our allies or our enemies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, let's not even go into that. Let's see, our allies.
We're out there kissing ass on... I'm sorry, we're out there making lovey-dovey public displays of affection with Vietnam.
Yep. Panetta's over there now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Syria is falling apart grain of sand by grain of sand by grain of sand, while the president was so happy to send so many troops all over the world in a New York minute, now Syria...
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's people over there, but hey, America, you helped out the Kuwaitis, you helped out these people, Eritrea, you helped out these people on this island, and that country nobody's ever heard of, and all this stuff. We're here, come and help, and the president just he doesn't dare. He doesn't dare. We're too close to the election.
I don't think it's part of his agenda. I think that country was one that... I think Syria is one of them that's... I don't know what's going on with Syria.
Right up his alley. Syria has been anti-Israel since there was a Syria, Israel.
I know. I don't know what's going on there. I really don't.
I think they'd be his buds,
You would.
You'd think they'd be having public displays of affection.
You would, but it's not happening. No, I don't think it is, because it is one of the reasons is, you're right, it's too close to the election. But, you know, Ahmadinejad, speaking of the Mideast, Ahmadinejad's in China, and meeting with the Chinese, and good old Putin's going to be there also.
Well, why don't we just make it a big old orgy and send Chavez over there as well?
Yeah, Chavez, I understand, is either in bad shape or on the verge of death.
In the bunk next to Fidel, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. That's what they say, right?
Well, send over Kim Jong-un.
Well, the whole thing behind this trip over to China is supposedly to talk to Iran about, you know, their nuclear drive and, you know, what's going on there. And, you know, they're...
Because they just opened their new... just opened construction on their new space center to launch satellites.
Why? No, probably. Well, you know, that's what Russia's there for, you know, to get a handle on this. What?
For peaceful satellites. That's what we're building these launching pads for.
Oh, yes, I'm sure. I know, but the thing is, it's like Putin's there, you know, to, you know, take a look at what they're doing, and it's like no. Putin is there to see how he can help supply Iran with whatever they need, whether it's uranium or whatever. That's what he's there for.
I think what they want to do is they want to support them with antivirus programs.
Probably.
We just whacked them again with one that makes Stuxnet look like a Nigerian chainmail. Oh my God! That knocked the Christmas out of them. And I saw how they did it, and I was like, oh, man, why didn't I think of that?
I don't know.
No letters, folks. I am not a hacker. I am a Linux aficionado, but I'm not a hacker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, it was great. It was great. There are gizmos called PLCs. And it stands for Programmable Logic Controller.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every industrial machine in the entire world runs off these. Mm-hmm. A good one made by Alan Bradley. They're wonderful.
Right.
You set them to do this. Then that's what they do. And the computer says, okay, it's first shift. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You, programmable PLC number one, you do this. Oh, I can do that. Okay, fine. So it does it.
Okay.
Well, what they kept doing was they kept sending this stuff into the host computer that messed with the speed that centrifuges turn at.
Oh, okay. That's not good.
By an RPM or two, up or down.
Yep.
Which kept it within, before the alarm circuits would go off, because it went off by like...
Mm-hmm.
I think they were supposed to spin at 6,800 RPM, and they were allowed to spin as low as 6,750 or as high as 6,850,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it moved it within that range a few times to make sure it wasn't going to bounce, and then it would move it wildly within that range, and the thing would fly apart.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that?
You didn't think of that.
I was like, oh, be doggone thing. Oh, man, they got some smart people working down there.
That's right.
And it was just, but we did. We whacked them again. And we'll continue to, you know. And that's good. That's good, because anything we can do some people say, well, we're only delaying the inevitable. You know, it's only a question of time. If they can't do enrichment, that, you know, Putin sends enriched previous, you know,
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, you know, that's the way Putin operates.
Or Peking. They'll send it to Peking.
That's
Peking
right.
will send it to Seoul.
Yep.
And it'll be just like the way the mafia used to do it.
Yep.
Putin will send out 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He'll send it to Beijing. Beijing will take a pound.
Yep.
They'll send it to
North Korea.
To Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take a pound. And then they'll send it down to some other place, and they'll take a pound. And Ahmadinejad ends up with 5 pounds, you know, because everybody takes a piece, nicey-nicey, everybody's happy, you know. all these people are nice. And but in the meantime, Ahmadinejad ends up with 5 pounds of enriched uranium.
That's right. So yeah, and that's another thing that's not good. Hey, there's.
And I think that's the next step. If we keep attacking them cyber wise and blowing up their centrifuges, you know, well then we'll just have to get our enriched uranium some other way, won't we?
Yeah. See. So yeah. Yeah. I know. I think Putin, China, they're going to ensure that Iran gets the bomb. I do.
Here's our problem with it. Okay, so let's just say that happens in the next 15 minutes. That, you know, Ahmadinejad finds himself with 5 pounds, 11 pounds. What's it take to make one of these bombs? 4 ounces? I have no idea. You know, I'm not a nuclear physicist, nor I play one on TV. So, you know, whatever it is, suppose he's got that now and he's signing for it right now. UPS pulls up out front.
Hardly, but go ahead.
Well, you don't think it actually... try and send it through some attaché or something, send a UPS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's going to look at a UPS package, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, he signs for it and he's got it now. And he's tomorrow morning, being Monday, they'll turn around and say, okay, now we've got the bomb. You do. Yeah, look, here it is. We've got the bomb. That, gone.
Yeah.
Oops, screen just went white. What happened? You know, exactly what happened. Somebody in Tel Aviv went on a button somewhere, and
there you go. Let's hope. Let's hope.
So again, delaying the inevitable. Yeah, we're not going to delay it. We're not going to completely prevent them from getting the bomb. Obviously not. Are we ever going to prevent them from ever actually getting a delivery system that works? No, of course not. You know, they're going to get it one way or the other. If they don't have a delivery system already, we're not going to prevent them from having both of them at the same time. But someone somewhere is going to prevent them from ever being able to use it.
That's true. Let's hope.
Hey. No, I don't think there's any question of hope. I really don't. I don't know. I paint for the fact of what it's going to do. You know, I don't see the old MAD system. You know, I don't see the mutually assured destruction.
Not with the way we're in. Not with the way our military is and everything like that. No, we're becoming very, very weak, and Obama is really taking strides, taking steps to make sure that we are weak. And you know, we have defense cuts that are probably going to be set into effect somewhere around September.
I saw last week or week before. I saw some statement by a bunch of generals, admirals, flag officers saying, we're going to go and do what we got to do.
Well, I hope so.
And,
I hope so.
You know, and just like every other branch of the government, we're just running up in debt. You know, we don't care. We're going to do what we have to do. I took that as a direct challenge to the CNC. And who knows where it'll go. You know, I don't plug much, but the things I plug, I believe in, and I believe in the Oath Keepers, and I wouldn't be terribly surprised to find out that a lot of our general officers, regardless of branch, are Oath Keepers, and they will not allow anything to happen to the American people.
I hope so, because I am looking at what's going on, and... there has to be some strong steps by people who consider themselves American. We have to get Obama out of office. And I am happy to say that for some reason, Romney seems to be getting a nice backbone.
He's growing a backbone. Yep. Well, you know what? He's having it installed.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe the cutesy aw shucks guy was just for the... primaries.
Maybe,
you know, got a lot of votes that way.
Well, you know, I mean, we see Nancy came out in favor.
Well, that's good.
Of Romney, and that that's not just good. That's important.
No, it is. No, I know.
I mean, when she says Ronnie would have liked him.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people across the fruited plain that are just going to go nuts for that, because that's Nancy. That's not just, you know, somebody. Yeah. That's Nancy Reagan. You know, I mean, if there's a woman in this country that equivocates to Her Majesty the Queen,
mm-hmm.
Walking around, you know, America right now, she is it.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, speaking of Her Majesty, congratulations on her
60 years. My goodness, I watched part of the BBC today. They had the flotilla up the Thames River. So
yes, I have a bunch of emails from a lot of my friends over there with pictures. Mm-hmm. And I've been enjoying them. Of course, the Brit, nobody parties like that. You know, for the droll, dry people that they are, I can't stand a lot of British TV, but God darn it. When they party it up, my goodness, people Union Jack spray painted on their heads and just like...
I know.
It's like watching football.
I know, it is.
But, I mean, Nancy Reagan said that Ronnie would have liked him. My goodness, that's like anointing with oil right there,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and for even Bill Clinton.
Oh, yes.
Never really agreed with for much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Turns around and says that he has a certain amount of admiration and respect for Romney. I'm like, well, that's just one Democrat talking about another.
Well, you know what? There are rumors that Hillary may just throw her hat into the ring. And decide to unseat him.
I so sincerely hope so.
I so sincerely hope so.
And you know what? Even if Obama were to turn around and say, "Well, you know what, Joe, you're getting a little old. How about this time I run with her as the VP?"
Oh my God, Joe Biden.
You know, and
I can't believe him. You know, he's on vacation now. They sent him on vacation.
So?
Well, because he was opening his mouth and,
President of the United States has taken 2 weeks more vacation than George W. Bush did, and nobody's complaining about that.
What do you mean?
Oh, my God. Remember what they used to do to George W. Bush?
Oh, yeah. That which might
take a long weekend, and people were, oh, my God, this is going on, that's going on, the other one, where is he? He's on vacation. You add up the days, and it comes to 12 more days that Obama has spent out of the White House recuperating and relaxing and whatever it is he needs to do, de-stress, unwind, meditate, I don't know, light incense, whatever it is he does, you know, bang a drum, whatever it is he does. But yet nobody's saying anything. I mean, of course, the people on the right are saying stuff, but not like the people on the left did.
Yeah, that's true.
So Bill Clinton has not endorsed Romney by any stretch of the imagination, but said he's got qualities and attributes that he, to some extent, respects and admires. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now if Hillary's going to throw her hat in the ring, well, that certainly explains a lot of what Bill was saying. You know, yeah. It's like, well, I'm not really going to distance myself as a standing president or as a former president against the standing president,
mm-hmm.
but I have to be ready to make my move when she makes hers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way that gamesmanship. But nobody does gamesmanship like that side anyway.
No.
I had somebody hit me a link to a YouTube video, and I'd like to see if I could find it. I'd forward it to you. It was basically a left and a right thing, and it pointed out, and I know we've discussed this in the past, it pointed out the fact that the clamor for decorum and things like that took place after Representative Giffords was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long video. It's like 20 minutes. But it showed all of the people clamoring for decorum and clamoring for, you know, nicety and kumbaya and all this other stuff. And then it showed each of these people, you know, at rallies with signs with targets on them, with effigies being, well, not burned, but you know what I mean, all this stuff. And none of this is from the right. And they did do a comparison at one point of the left and the right about, you know, who plays nice, who plays fair, who, you know, acts like a gentleman. And my goodness, I was like, I even put it on my Google Plus page for anybody that's thinking about it. I put it up there saying, you know, go ahead. Defend this. I dare you. Bring it. You know, because this is something that I've been saying for a long time, that, you know, we refuse. I'm not saying that we have to I'm not saying we have to roll around in the mud with these people. I'm not saying people say, oh, well, we can't bring ourselves down to their level. I'm not saying we have to go down to any level. But doggone it, don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
You know, you don't walk into a bare-knuckled, these new things. They don't wrestle anymore. They punch on each other. It's like half boxing, half wrestling, half
judo. Yeah, I forget. I don't know the name.
You don't walk in there with your Marcus de Greensbury stance and your big old, you know, boxing gloves on in one of those kind of arena.
Yeah.
You know, so when you start looking at this and say, well, you know, Romney seems to be growing a spine. Well, doggone it, it's about time.
No, it is. But
He didn't waste any time ripping out, you know, all kinds of ads and stuff like that against fellow Republicans. I shouldn't say fellow Republicans. He is a Democrat.
Okay.
But he didn't waste any time in tearing apart,
I know.
Whether it was Gingrich, whether it was, you know, all of them. He ripped them new ones all the way up and down. And yet, you know, I was so afraid that when we got to the general, you know, the post-primary zone, that it was going to be... You know, again, put the gloves on, stand there nice and straight, you know, like...
And smile, and, yeah.
And smile, and like in the American Revolution, where we had, you know, people in trees, you know, and the redcoats would march in line.
Yeah, in formation, yep.
In formation, and be mowed down, you know.
He seems to be doing really good, I have to admit, but who do you think he should pick for his... All right, who do you think is going to be picked... And who do you think is going to who do you think should be picked? Two different questions. Which one do you want to answer first?
Well, who do I?
Who do you want?
Who do I want? Alan West.
You know, that's who I want also. And do you know, on polls on townhall.com and other polls on some of the other sites, Alan West keeps coming to the top. And that's who I would like to see.
Well, I don't want Chris Christie.
Oh God, I don't want Chris Christie. Do you know? Good old Chris Christie is not exactly who we thought he is, was, whatever. NRO, the National Review Online, wrote an article, one of the writers, I forget, and he writes, Chris Christie is not one of us. Basically saying he is not a conservative. He is not a conservative.
Fiscally,
maybe.
He's like some of the other candidates we've seen come and go. Fiscally, he is indeed. He's fiscally and economically, the man's a absolute conservative. Matter of fact, I'd call him, you know, to the right of just about anyone
but,
in that.
Right? Yeah, but with everything else, nope. And he is really.
He never professed to be a social conservative ever.
Yeah. Well, not even on that. Wait a minute. You know this whole thing with the New York Police Department and how they were basically observing mosques and everything, and they were doing it in New Jersey and so on and so forth. And he came out, and he was just so horrified calling them bigots and all this other stuff. And it's like, what? How many people from New Jersey died in the towers?
Well, yep, how many people died in the towers? And I'll tell you what, I'm really concerned by that, but face it, just like Walker in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry. Yeah, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Just like Walker. I haven't heard much about how he feels about, mosques. You know, but I'll tell you what, the man is doing everything in his power to balance that budget.
True.
And Chris Christie was elected. Chris Christie was not elected for the way he feels about gay marriage, mosques, women's issues, birth control, reproductive rights.
Yeah,
he was not elected on any of that. He walked in and said, I'm running for governor. Well, what are you going to do when you're governor? I'm going to make New Jersey rich again.
Everybody was trying to make him like he was a conservative, and he is
He's never been. No,
right.
He has
So there
never
you go.
Been.
Yeah.
I've never had a... I like the guy, for, first of all, for his transparency in the fact that he is a fiscal conservative, and mm-hmm. that's what he ran on, and that's what he won on.
Right.
I like his bluster to some extent because, face it, I've got it as well.
Right. Well, it's New Jersey, for heaven's sake.
It's New Jersey. It's just so New Jersey. It's just so appropriate. It's just so an in-your-face kind of bluster that, you know, that is accepted because it's not so much that it is. People see it as bluster who don't live or are not from New Jersey. But New Jerseyans look at it and say, that's a man who knows what he's doing.
Right.
Because when we have bluster, it's because we can back it up.
That's right. That's right.
You know, as opposed to just bluster from, you know, the other side.
Mm-mm.
So I don't want to see him as, because I think that somebody in that pile has got to be a Republican.
Okay. So who do you think he's going to pick?
Who is he going to pick?
Yeah.
I think it's a tie between Barbara Bachman.
No. Michelle Bachman, you're talking about?
I'm sorry. Michelle Bachman and Nikki.
Nikki Haley? Nah, I don't think so. The rumors are, I think he's going to pick Marco Rubio.
I wouldn't argue too much with Marco Rubio.
Neither would I.
I mean, if I can't have Colonel West,
yeah,
then I wouldn't argue with Marco Rubio.
No.
But I have this
because he is a conservative.
And somebody's got, but I really get that I get the impression of either Haley or Bachman. I think he's going to, the Democrat in him says.
Well, Michelle Bachman, I would like to see her. That's fine with me.
I don't think it'll do anything to help him win.
You know what? There were rumors that Kelly Ayotte, senator from New Hampshire, was on the short list. But I don't like her. I don't think she's a strong speaker. I mean, Michelle Bachman can get up there.
I don't think they need to be.
She's very hesitant. No, she's very hesitant.
The only time Biden's a strong speaker is when he's lying, and well.
But you need somebody to go up against Biden who can stand there and not get cowed. I don't think Michelle Bachman will be cowed by him.
But I look back to Geraldine Ferraro, and then I look to Sarah Palin, and, you know, so that's one each, one Democrat and one Republican.
Yeah.
I'm not saying for a second that Sarah Palin cost McCain the election, because I think McCain cost Sarah Palin the election.
Oh, yeah, no. You don't know how many people I knew that decided to vote Republican because of Sarah Palin, whereas they were going to sit home before.
But, I mean, look at what happened to Ferraro.
Yeah,
when she ran with the Fritzmeister,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah, it was a bloodbath. Yes.
So, you know, now is that a failure on Ferraro's part?
No,
probably not. But I'll tell you this much: she didn't help.
Yeah, true.
Right. So now, when I look at the fact that that's one of each now.
Okay.
I think Romney's enough of a Democrat to be turning around saying Haley or Bachman?
I hope not. And
whether it's Ayotte, whether it's Haley, Haley, whether it's Bachman, I would be doggone surprised. And I'll tell you another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that he would drift towards picking a woman. I will guarantee you it will be neither Rubio nor West. I want to see West in that house in the worst doggone way.
Yeah.
And face it, not for anything, but Rubio's still got a job. Come January 1st, West does not.
True.
Because they reorganized his district.
I know, he has to run again.
Yeah, so,
thank you, Republican Party of Florida, who did that on purpose. They did that on purpose.
Because he's a Tea Party, yeah.
Because he's a conservative. He's a hardline conservative who pulls no punches and knows exactly what the score is out there.
Army. Since when does he pull a punch?
He is an amazing man. I mean, I'll tell you, that is one person I would like to meet face to face. And
you know, oh yes, you know? Indeed. I would. You know what?
Heck, I think I'd kiss his ring for crying out loud.
Well, I don't know if I'd go quite that.
No, well, I would. I don't know. Look, he's a hero. I mean, he is a. I don't know. What can I say?
Oh, Colin Powell.
Colin Powell's a pain in my butt. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Maybe
the
he's a pain in your butt, but he was a hero. So
yes, he was. But look what happened.
He did kind of wing me out. And you know something? Another one that came up in discussion with my brother-in-law.
Yeah. Who?
You know, people might not. Oh goodness! I stopped for too long, and now I got to restart. I have to.
Portman.
I have to control alt delete my brain here for a second. Yeah.
Portman from Indiana? No, not Indiana.
No. I was on the roll. Oh, Condoleezza Rice.
There you go. Okay, Condi Rice. Yeah, she's also been. Well, you know, she has. Well, to me, she has more gravitas because of her background. All right. So, you know, I mean, as opposed to Nikki Haley, you know, or Kelly Ayotte, big deal, New Hampshire. Hello, yeah. Give me a break.
Wait a minute. Daniel Webster was from New Hampshire. You know.
And? What's that got to do with it? No, but I'm just saying, I mean, you know, Condi Rice, she was Secretary of State. She National Security Advisor? I can't remember that. No, I can't remember. No. But, you know, I mean, she's also well-versed, being a Russian linguist in, the Soviet Union. And so she'll know how to deal with Putin and everything. So, you know, that is good, yes. I mean, you know, she is an accomplished person. So, you know, she's very intelligent. So, yeah, that would be a good one.
If he did tap her for the gig, mm-hmm. she wouldn't upset me.
No.
As much as some of the others that he might pick. I mean, you know, who knows? You know, I mean, just who knows? You know, would he pick Perry? Would he pick...
There was talk about Jeb Bush, too. I don't think so.
Jeb Bush. Well, you know what?
I don't think so.
First of all, I don't think so. Second of all, I don't think the Bush family would be in favor.
Yeah.
Of it, first and foremost. But second and second most, that would be... cataclysmic.
I think so. I think it. Yeah, yeah.
That would be absolute. That would be absolute cataclysm, because it would be another Bush headed for that address. Yeah. And no, they.
No, it would be.
There would be nothing left. It would be slash and burn.
Yeah.
Scorched earth.
Speaking of Bush, though, GW and Laura were back at the White House to unveil their portraits this past week. And I happened to see it live, and you know, everybody was saying, "Oh, how nice and gracious the Bushes were, and the Obamas, and all this other stuff." But you know, I was watching George Bush while he was up there giving a speech, and I could tell that he was not exactly going to let Obama just roll roughshod over him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Obama tried to make a jab.
And even his like expression, I mean, it wasn't too welcoming. They had to stand for pictures and everything, and George Bush, you know, just kind of looked, you know, sort of like had his arm around Obama and everything. It's like, well, I don't blame him. I mean, look what the man has done.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. There's somebody else that I have copious amounts of respect for, is Laura Bush. You look up the word "lady" in the dictionary, and there's her picture.
Exactly.
I mean, this woman is just unbelievable. You know, she, Nancy Reagan, you know, I mean,
yes.
Even Barbara Bush.
Yep. Know, good old Babs.
Good old Babs, you know.
No.
But, you know, I mean, look, I mean, being here in Maine, of course, we're all familiar with Barbara Bush, you know, of course, because of the mm-hmm. centers over at Maine Medical and stuff like that.
Kenny Bunkport.
And they're big down on Kenny Bunkport and all that. You know, look, she was always the lady. You know, I mean, look, you take those three women alone, you know, and you put them there, and they get a group photo going, and then you bring in Michelle Obama.
I know. There you go.
And I mean, I don't know the woman personally. I've never met her or anything. I'm just talking about the way it seems. You know. You know, she's got her little cause with obesity and growing vegetables in the White House lawn.
Do you know that growing vegetables in the White House lawn was very, very common with past presidents, including...
Well, in during the Second World War, they had sheep grazing
there.
Yeah,
I know, but what I'm saying is that, you know, they made it sound, the media made it sound like this was the first time anything like this had ever happened. George Bush, I mean Laura Bush had a garden there for fresh vegetables. So it's like God in heaven.
They didn't create this garden. They wrote it told the one that was there.
Exactly. Yeah, okay, you know, there are a few things going on. One of them is that George Zimmerman is now back in custody because they said that he lied about just how much money he had. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, he lied about how much money he had. He lied about, he wouldn't turn in his other passport.
Okay.
Something about he had another passport, and I just assume an Israeli passport. I don't know why, but I do. I haven't actually seen anything that would tell me what it was, but I'll just assume it was Israeli.
Okay.
Well, because there's damn few places you can get another one from legally.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
And he doesn't look Italian. No. So, so... I don't know. It seemed flimsy,
right?
With the accounts I saw, to be honest with you, I think they. I think it's more protective custody than anything else.
It's you know something. I didn't think about that. No, it is possible. It is possible. Hey, you know, there's a little conference going on. Bilderberg.
Oh my goodness. Wait. But see, we have the luxury of video. The rest of the audience does not. Insert eye roll here.
Of course.
Somebody sent, oddly enough, and it pains me to say this, one of my cousins.
Okay.
And you know, I never got into that whole thing. I don't know what's a second, third cousin twice removed, and you know, I don't know
how
that works.
I don't either. No. Mm-mm.
But it's one of my cousins, and I'm not going to sit here and try to do genealogy in my head, but one of my cousins, same last name as mine, and there was one of these things. They sent a video that clearly showed a missile being fired from one of the aircraft on 9/11.
What?
Or at the aircraft, or something. There was a missile.
Are you kidding?
In one of these photographs, or a video, or something, that there was a missile. I didn't even open it up to enlarge. Yeah. Or if it was video, I didn't even click play. Yeah. I just replied to it saying, was that filmed on the same lot where they filmed the moon landing?
Yeah.
You know, was that, is that the lot where they used to show where the second and third gunmen were?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, so the Bilderbergs are having a convention.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, where's my invitation?
I know.
I mean, I'm a member of the Illuminati. I consider myself enlightened.
Enlightened.
No letters, folks. No, I am not a Mason. I am not a Shriner. No, I don't.
No Knights of Columbus.
No Knights of no KFC. No Priory of Zion.
We got it.
None of that. Nope.
Opus
sorry.
Day. Oh my God.
So, I mean, I'm none of those kind of things, but I mean, why not? You know, I mean, I get it. They don't want to be seen with me. Well, I got news for you. Hey. That's not actually how it plays. I don't want to be seen with them.
That's exactly.
But so
hey.
What?
Hey. Okay.
So, I mean, people are going to be taught. I mean, look at you can't turn your computer on without that coming up. I don't care what your homepage is. I don't care if your homepage is generalhospital.tv.
Okay.
On your homepage, the fact that the Bilderbergers are having a convention is right there on your homepage.
That's true. That's true. It is. It is.
And why? Who bleeding cares?
Well, you know all the conspiracy theories about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's why it's just so, you know. Hey, come on. Wait a minute. We can't ignore this. Mayor Bloomberg.
Don't ignore this.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to something else. All right. Here's something that I found out.
Mrs. Bloomberg. Yes. old lady Bloomberg.
Yeah. Okay. This is something I found on WorldNet Daily, And it is, title is, let me bring it up here, U.S. Marine fires back over Sharia loans.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, a U.S. Marine who served in Iraq is suing the federal government because they have distributed billions of taxpayer dollars to American International Group, which,
and
by the way,
they have taken those billions of dollars and loaned them to pro-Sharia.
Well, what it is they basically use this to train their people in managing Sharia-based loans. Now, let me now this really.
I thought Sharia law prohibited you from taking a loan.
That's what it is. Yes, that's what it is. Basically, what they have to do is buy shares instead of taking a loan. They have to buy into something. And the thing is, but what it is billions of our dollars that are being...
Hold on. I don't have any idea why this is still ringing.
What?
I hit decline. Just give it a second. Because I don't know how... I don't know how Sharia law works, and furthermore, Scarlett.
I don't give a damn. I do, because it's creeping into our way of life in America.
Well, no. My issue is I only go on the fact that I know that according to the things I do know about it, that it's supposed to be antithetical to Sharia law to take out a loan. So now if they find a loophole or a workaround by buying shares of something and all the... And AIG wants to loan them money. That is bad news. And
it's called Sharia compliant financing.
Okay.
And so basically, what they're doing is they're taking our taxpayer funds, and handing them over to AIG. So basically, my money is going to support people and give them loans.
Build mosques.
And they're trying to kill me.
That's exactly what's happening. Now, what my problem is, am I wrong in this, or is it against the UCMJ for a member of the armed forces to sue the government in any way, shape, manner, or form?
I think he's a former Marine.
Former. Okay, that's all that counts in that department.
Yeah.
If he's got a suit going, I applaud him. If he wants to make it class action and look for signatories...
Yeah, he is a former Marine, basically.
Okay, if he wants to make it class action and look for signatories to this, I'll sign on.
Well, the thing is that he has the Thomas More Law Center doing this.
Oh, then it's under control.
Yeah, it's definitely under control. I mean,
and
because they have a lawyer of theirs that is also who is an expert on Sharia law and Sharia... compliant financing. So, you know, the lawyer that's handling this case knows what's going on with Sharia law. It's not like they're just throwing it out there, you know.
All right. Well, then that's good. You know, because this is another, Marine or otherwise,
mm-hmm.
this is someone who saw wrong
mm-hmm.
and has done something to right it.
But, you know, this also brings out something that a lot of people did not know. That our taxpayer dollars was going to fund this. Why? Let's see. Obama's in office. That's why.
Well, I don't like it. On any level, I really don't. I don't believe in the entire idea. Go back a few paragraphs. I don't believe in the idea of bailouts in the first place.
Well, it's not a bailout. It's basically...
No, when they bailed out AIG with...
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
They say, well, they're too big to fail. No, they're not.
Yeah, I mean, what it is it's what they're trying... The excuse they're making is that it's a government-owned company. So they can basically do this. And I'm like, no, you can't.
Well, you can't. No, you can't. And I applaud the Marine, as I said. But I don't believe in bailouts, and I don't care who owns a company. I don't care if it's Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIG, or anything else that's a corporate entity within the government, next to the government, by the government, down the street from the government. I don't believe in bailouts. I don't care if it's Bear Stearns, AIG.
I know.
I don't believe in it. I believe that, strong survive, and if you're not strong, you don't survive, and that's just the way it is in business.
That's
you know,
right.
uh, some of the richest billionaires and trillionaires in our nation's history, you know, made their money, you know, the old-fashioned way, you know, and they earned it. And you know, well, you know, these robber barons, no, they were captains of industry, not robber barons. You know, Getty and Carnegie and stuff, you know, by buying up, you know, steel mills and railroads and coal mines and all this other stuff, they didn't just walk in and say, oh, look at this successful one. No, they found the ones that were floundering, they bought them, and they turned them into wonderful institutions that lasted 100 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they did what they had to do. Yeah, it wasn't always easy. Yeah, there were times when it was a problem, the whole organized labor thing, the Molly Maguires and all, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, there were growing pains, but they got her done.
Right.
You know, and the government didn't step in. As a matter of fact, the only time the government stepped in was maybe it was in breach of antitrust or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Other
yes.
than that, it got with laissez-faire, baby.
Yep, I agree.
You know, and so the whole thing with bailouts, whether it's, as I said, whether it's some shadow or, you know, paper trail government agency, corporation, sponsor, drift, I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is. You're failing? Okay, sorry.
Yep.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I carry that right up to the Postal Service.
Oh, gosh.
You ain't making it? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll tell you something. The last time I needed a stamp for anything was to send my mom and dad an anniversary card. That was back in February.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time I'm going to need a stamp is a week or two from now. What's today? Today's the 2nd, 3rd? In a week from today, sometime during this week, I'm going to need a stamp. Send my brother a birthday card.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Postal Service fails between now and then, I'll send it FedEx or UPS or one of the people that's making money.
Money, that's true.
Or I'll send it by email.
Mm-hmm.
Or hell, I'll jump on a plane and deliver it to Arizona myself.
Yep.
But I'm not, you know, I don't care who it is. Don't be bailing them out with my money. If I want to invest in that company, I'll do it.
That's right.
If I want a piece of GM, I'll go buy the doggone stock.
That's true. But
you know, but let's just carry this conversation in just a couple more minutes, because there's a school in New York that's mandating Arabic.
Oh, yeah. I read about that. Yep. They say that the kids are going to have a choice, the parents, if they don't want them, but you know darn well that it's going to be mandated.
Well, because it's a magnet school.
Yeah.
So they have a choice. They have a choice to not have them take Arabic. Well, the choice they're given is, if you don't want your kid to take Arabic, take them out of this school.
Oh. Oh, great.
That's the choice they're given.
That's the choice they're given? Oh, isn't that
Arabic nice? Or nothing. Well, you know, Arabic is going to be a big up-and-coming language in the coming decades and stuff. Not if we can help it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, if people want to make nice with them and kiss their rings or whatever it is you kiss on an Arab, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You guys want to, you know, play patty fingers with these people. Yeah, it's going to be an up-and-coming language, isn't it?
That's right.
You know what? It wasn't that long ago where the vast majority, not the hidden, you know, stuck in some little hole in rural Maine like me, you know, mm-hmm. That believed that, you know what, the only language anybody needs to learn is English.
That's right.
You know, they used to say in the old days, you know, back when I was in junior high school, they used to say, well, you know, French is the international language.
Really?
And they wanted everybody to take French.
Okay.
You know, I'm sorry, I already spoke Italian and I spoke English. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't speak Latin yet, but I got there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm sorry, I believe back when Jean Kirkpatrick was our United Nations delegate,
mm-hmm.
and her underling, and I believe at the time it was Bob Bolton, but they were talking about adding... John Bolton, sorry. I get, you know, all the Boltons, you know, Officer Joe.
I know this Josh, there's, you know.
And Officer Joe Bolton.
No.
Memories of WPIX. Anyway, when they said something about adding 16 languages to the interpreter staff, he said, if they have anything important to say, let them say it in English.
Hear, hear.
And that's the way I feel about it. And I, you know, unfortunately... Arabic is going to be an up-and-coming language, but that doesn't mean we have to like it. That doesn't mean we have to help it along.
That's right. I agree.
You know, I refused, when I had a job not that long ago, I refused, when they offered me for free a copy of Rosetta Stone to learn Spanish, I declined it.
Okay, good.
And when I was given one to learn to speak Arabic, I declined that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. If you've got anything important to say, my friends, you can say it in English.
I agree with you completely on that. Yeah, really. I mean, we came from families that came over here from Italy. They spoke Italian. But then, you know what? They also spoke English.
That's right.
My grandfather and grandmother went to school to learn how to speak English.
My grandmother didn't. Neither grandmother went to school to learn to speak English. My maternal grandmother picked it up. My paternal grandmother never really picked up a whole lot of it,
but
because she never left the house.
Yeah, but she could understand when you spoke to her, because she used to watch television and stuff.
That little bit, you know, that little bit that that she understood and could converse with the grandchildren and stuff, that was fine.
But she didn't go out demanding that everybody speak Italian in the business world.
She didn't leave the house, and if she did leave the house, she never went more than a block from the house, where everybody spoke the same language and English. So. Yeah. You know, but my thing is, you know, here we are. We're going to have Sharia compliant loans. We're going to. Why don't we just send Ahmadinejad the doggone uranium and call it a day?
Yeah, that's it, right? I mean, you know, geez, you know, if we're going to do all this, why don't we just help him get what he wants? Really?
You know, and give him the missile to deliver it to Haifa or
heck. Give him an ICBM. Let him hit our shores, right?
Look, we don't. You know what? We only have one of these left laying around. You want it?
Yeah, we're giving them all away anyway, because Putin says we have to. You know?
Well, yeah, and that's another thing. Somebody actually, I think it was on Facebook, which I am finally in the throes of getting. As a matter of fact, at 19:09 hours on 20 June this year. My Facebook account will be deleted, and so will Debbie's. We are finally getting away from Facebook entirely. So, anyway, but that aside, look, you know, somebody had a JPEG up there of a picture of Putin, and it just said KGB.
That's it. Yes.
And of course, the G, of course, was in the guise of a hammer and sickle.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And anybody who doesn't believe that to this day and age, you know something? Listen, this bridge has been in my family for generations, and I don't want to take care of it anymore. You know, I got $100.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
But, yeah, I know. But, you know, then we have a president now. Really, honest to God, if this guy even comes close to winning the election, I'm going to create my own country. I really
I think this is going to be a Reagan-Carter match.
Oh, God, I hope so. God, I hope so.
I can't imagine that I have people, my rabbi, who has never pulled any other lever in his life besides the one with a D on it.
Yeah, what's he doing?
He's certainly not voting for President Obama.
Oh, good.
He's actually actively sending out emails and Facebook updates and Google Plus updates and stuff like that that are, while they're not pro-Romney, they're certainly not pro-Obama.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is this rabbi, does he finally understand that Obama is not pro-Israel and he hates the Jews?
Yes.
Okay, good. So there's hope. There's hope for the Jewish community in the United States.
Yes, he understands. My mother, you know, bless her heart,
God love
has never pulled a lever in her life that didn't have a D next to it.
Oh, my gosh, really?
My father, pretty much the same.
And?
I think my father did vote, however, for Eisenhower.
He didn't vote for Reagan?
Nope.
Oh, my
God.
But
I think my father did vote for Ike.
So what's he going to do this time?
He is not voting for Obama. I don't know what he's going to do, but he has already made clear to me in two different languages he is not voting for Obama.
You know, funny thing is, when I started working for when I started working for the National Security Agency, I convinced my mother to stop voting Democrat. And she finally realized, yeah, you know, it was in her, you know, in the favor of the country to just vote Republican. And by that time, Ronald Reagan was running. So yeah, after that, she was a Republican, and she switched, and she started voting Republican.
I know out of my family, nuclear and extended,
mm-hmm.
My brother, who, as a matter of fact, that's who was beeping in while we were... has been with the Newark Archdiocese for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how long he's going to stay there now that he's got his doctorate, so he may end up at Notre Dame or Loyola or... one of the universities. He's going to be an academic. He has no dreams of being a cardinal or anything.
Okay.
Is not voting for President Obama, and he did last time. The rabbi, of course, did last time. My mother, of course, did last time, and they have no desire to do it again. I see it among my extended family. Somebody's cousins, and I mean, some of them are in their 20s, some of them that are third and fourth and fifth and sixth cousins or whatever, however many removals we're talking about. They are young people.
Mm-hmm.
And they have either pro-Romney or at the very least anti-Obama stuff posted.
Very good, very good.
Google Plus or Facebook or MySpace or whatever they use. I have no idea yet how my 18-year-old niece is going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last time they were here, their mom was with them, and she gets all upset with me if I talk politics or religion. So I stayed away from it. But I will find out. But I mean, there are just droves and droves and droves of people, and of course, you got to look at that with another fistful of gravitas because of the fact that young people tend to vote Democrat.
That's true.
And the Democrat Party actually goes out in droves to college campuses and high schools and that kind of thing. They actively court the youth vote.
That's right.
And it's this time I'm hoping that this is not just some little trend within people with my last name. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping something that moves on from there.
Exactly.
A quick little get out one here is there was a graphic,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about the Ohio primary some time ago, or not the Ohio, the Ohio when the there was a speech being made and there was nobody there to hear it.
Oh yes, when he kicked off his campaign,
mm-hmm.
at Ohio State University.
Yep,
wasn't it?
Well,
or was it? No, it wasn't Kent State. It was Ohio State, right?
Okay. Ohio. Uh-huh. I got a graphic in the email of the chamber up in Augusta showing the Democrat convention and the Republican convention.
Yeah.
The Democrat convention was, however many folding chairs they have in the building, and half of them were empty.
Hmm.
The Republican convention was standing room only.
Hmm.
So that tells you a little something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That tells you a little something. Granted, our delegates all went for Ron Paul. But
we'll see.
The point is, we're literally talking about an almost 20-to-1 ratio.
Yes.
Of attendance.
Yes.
With the fact that it was, at 9 o'clock in the morning outside convention headquarters, it was 2 hours to get in to get a seat. Mm-hmm. And then it was 2 hours to get in just to find some place to stand. I mean, mm-hmm. all these people, I think it came to a couple of thousand people. And it showed like 250 people sitting at the Democrat convention. So I'm hoping that as Maine goes, so goes the union.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether, regardless of whether the elector mm-hmm. delegates went for Paul or Romney or Perry or Gingrich or Santorum or anybody else, the point is they are Republican delegates.
Yep.
And let's hope they pay attention. Just if nothing else, I hope they pay attention, if nothing else, to that picture.
Yep, Exactly.
That's and it. That should tell them how to vote the way Maine wants the vote to go.
Yep. So, my friend.
Yeah, we put together a long one this week, boys and girls, because we haven't been we've been diligent. It's just, as Amory said, life happens.
Yep.
And take us most of the way out, will you?
Oh, gosh. Okay, folks, listen. Hope you stuck around for the full hour and a half, I guess. But let me tell you, again, we wouldn't be able to do this if it wasn't for our brave men and women in the military. May they be safe throughout the world. And remember that there is always somebody here thinking about you and thanking you for your service.
Listen, heritage.org, get your copy of the Constitution free of charge. I had to get that. You know I was going to get that.
I knew that.
And in the meantime, boys and girls, God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.